Even Mon Mothma hadn't been left out.
Some might, in fact, have severe doubts that what you're telling us is true at all.
Beside Card, Luke shifted in his seat, and Leia could sense his efforts to control his annoyance with the Bothan. But Card merely cocked an eyebrow.
Are you suggesting that I am lying to you? What, a smuggler lie?
Phalia countered.
What a thought!
He's not lying,
Han insisted, an edge to his voice.
The fleet's been found. I saw some of the ships.
Perhaps,
Phalia said, dropping his eyes to the polished surface of the table. Of all those at the meeting, Han had so far been the only one to escape Phalia's posturing and his glare. For some reason, the Bothan seemed reluctant to even look at him.
Perhaps not. There are more dreadnought cruisers in the galaxy than just the Katana fleet.
I don't believe this, Luke spoke up at last, looking back and forth between Phalia and Mon Mothma. The Katana fleet's been found. The Empire's going after it, and we're sitting here arguing about it.
Perhaps the problem is that you believe too much, or too easily,
Phalia retorted, turning his gaze on Luke.
Solo tells us the Empire is holding someone who can lead them to these alleged ships, and yet Card has said only he knows their location.
And as I've mentioned at least once today, Card said tartly, the assumption that no one else knew what we'd found was just that, an assumption.
Captain Hoffner was a very astute man in his way, and I have no trouble believing that he might have pulled a copy of the coordinates for himself before I erased them.
I'm glad you have such faith in your former associate,
Phalia said.
For myself, I find it easier to believe that it is Captain Solo who is wrong.
His fur rippled.
Or has been deliberately deceived.
Beside her, Leia felt Han's mood darken.
You want to explain that, Counselor?
He demanded.
I think you were lied to,
Phalia said bluntly, his eyes still not meeting Han's.
I think this contact of yours, who I notice you've been remarkably reluctant to identify, told you a story and dressed it up with false evidence. That piece of machinery you say Calrissian examined could have come from anywhere. And you yourself admitted that you were never actually aboard any of the ships.
What about the Imperial raid on the Coral Vanda?
Han demanded.
They thought there was someone there worth grabbing.
Phalia smiled thinly.
Or else they wanted us to believe that they did. Which they very well might, if your unnamed contact is in fact working for them.
Leia looked at Han. There was something there beneath the surface, some swirl of emotion she couldn't identify. Han, she asked quietly.
No,
he said, his eyes still on Phalia.
He's not working for the Imperials.
So you say,
Phalia sniffed.
You offer little proof of that.
All right, then, Card put in. Let's assume for the moment that all this is in fact a giant soap bubble. What would the Grand Admiral stand to gain from it?
Phalia's fur shifted in a gesture Leia decided was probably annoyance. Between her and Card, they'd pretty well burst the Bothan's theory that Thrawn was not, in fact, an Imperial Grand Admiral, and Phalia wasn't taking even that minor defeat well.
I should think that was obvious,
he told Card stiffly.
How many systems would we have to leave undefended, do you suppose, in order to reassign enough trained personnel to reactivate and transport 200 dreadnoughts? No, the Empire has a great deal to gain by hasty action on our part.
They also have a great deal to gain by our total lack of action,
Card said, his voice icy cold.
I worked with Hoffner for over 2 years, and I can tell you right now that it won't take the Imperials a great deal of time to obtain the fleet's location from him. If you don't move quickly, you'll stand to lose everything.
If there's anything out there to lose,
Phalia said. Leia put a warning hand on Han's arm.
That should be easy enough to check.
She jumped in before Card could respond.
We can send a ship and tech crew out to take a look. If the fleet is there and seems operational, we can start a full-scale salvage effort.
From the look on Card's face, she could tell that he thought even that was moving too slowly. But he nodded.
I suppose that's reasonable enough, he said.
Leia looked at Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma? I agree,
the other said.
Counselor Phalia, you'll speak to Admiral Drayson at once about assigning an escort frigate and two X-Wing squadrons to this mission. Preferably a ship already here at Coruscant. We don't want anyone outside the system to even get a hint of what we're doing.
Phalia inclined his head slightly.
As you wish. Will tomorrow morning be sufficiently early?
Yes.
Mon Mothma looked at Card.
We'll need the fleet's coordinates.
Of course,
Card agreed.
I'll supply them tomorrow morning.
Phalia snorted.
Let me remind you, Captain Card.
Unless, of course, Counselor, Card continued smoothly. You'd prefer I leave Coruscant tonight and offer the location to the highest bidder.
Phalia glared at him, his fur flattening. But there was nothing he could do about it, and he knew it.
In the morning, then,
he growled.
Good,
Card nodded.
If that's all, then, I believe I'll return to my quarters and rest a while before dinner.
He looked across at Leia, and suddenly there was something different in his face or his sense. She nodded fractionally, and his gaze slid unconcernedly away from her as he stood up.
Mon Mothma, Counselor Phalia,
he said, nodding to each in turn.
It's been interesting.
We'll see you in the morning,
Phalia said darkly. A faintly sardonic smile touched Card's lips.
Of course.
Then I declare this meeting adjourned,
Mon Mothma said, making it official.
Let's go,
Leia murmured to Han as the others began collecting their data cards together.
What's going on?
He murmured back.
I think Card wants to talk,
she told him.
Come on. I don't want to get bogged down here talking to Mon Mothma.
Yeah, well, you go on,
Han said, his voice oddly preoccupied. She frowned at him.
You sure?
Yeah,
he said. His eyes flicked over her shoulder, and she glanced around in time to see Phalia stride from the room.
Go on. I'll catch up with you.
All right,
she said, frowning at him.
It's okay,
he assured her, reaching down to squeeze her hand.
I just need to talk to Phalia for a minute.
What about?
Personal stuff.
He tried one of those lopsided smiles she usually found so endearing. It didn't look nearly so innocent this time as it normally did.
Hey, it's okay,
he repeated.
I'm just gonna talk to him. Trust me.
I've heard that before,
Leia sighed. But Luke had already left the room, and Card was on his way out, and Mon Mothma had that look about her that signified that she was just about to come over and ask Leia for a favor.
Just try to be diplomatic, all right?
His eyes flicked over her shoulder again.
Sure,
he said.
Trust me.
Phalia was heading down the grand corridor toward the assemblage chamber when Han caught sight of him, walking with that peculiar gait of someone who's in a terrific hurry but doesn't want anyone else to know it.
Hey!
Han called.
Counselor Phalia!
The only response was a brief flush of pale red across the nearest of the line of challa trees. Glowering at the back of Phalia's head, Han lengthened his stride and within a dozen quick paces had caught up with the other.
I'd like a word with you, Counselor,
he said. Phalia didn't look at him.
We have nothing to discuss, he said.
Oh, I think we do,
Han said, falling into step beside him.
Like maybe trying to find a way out of the jam you're in here.
I thought your female was the diplomat of the family,
Phalia sniffed, throwing a sideways look at Han's shirt front.
We take turns, Han told him, trying real hard not to dislike the other. See, what got you into trouble here was trying to play politics by Bothan rules. That bank thing made Akbar look bad, so like any good Bothan, you jumped on him. Trouble is, no one else jumped with you. So you were left there all alone with your neck stuck way out, and your political reputation on the line. You don't know how to back out gracefully, and you figure the only way to salvage your prestige is to make sure Akbar goes down.
Indeed, Phalia said acidly. Did it ever occur to you that I might have stuck my neck out, as you put it, because I truly believed Akbar was guilty of treason?
Not really, no, Han told him. But a lot of other people think that, and that's what's got your reputation on the line. They can't imagine anyone making such a fuss without some proof.
What makes you think I haven't any proof?
For starters, the fact that you haven't shown it, Han said bluntly. Then there's the fact that you sent Braelia scrambling out to New Cov to try to make some sort of high-prestige deal with Senator Bell Iblis. That is what Braelia was doing out there, isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about, Phalia muttered.
Right. And that's the third thing. The fact that 5 minutes ago you were ready to throw Bell Iblis to the Cravers if it would buy you enough time to bring in the Katana fleet.
Abruptly, Phalia stopped.
Let me speak frankly with you, Captain Solo,
he said, still not looking directly at Han's face.
Whether you understand my motivations or not, I certainly understand yours. You hope to bring the Katana fleet to Coruscant yourself, and with that leverage, to force my downfall and Akbar's reinstatement.
No,
Han said tiredly, shaking his head.
That's the whole point, Counselor. Leia and the others don't play by Bothan rules. They make decisions based on evidence, not prestige. If Akbar is guilty, he gets punished. If he's innocent, he gets released. It's that simple.
Phalia smiled bitterly.
Take my advice, Captain Solo, and stick with the smuggling and fighting and other things you understand. The private rules of politics are far beyond you.
You're making a mistake, Counselor,
Han said, trying one last time.
You can back out now without losing anything. You really can. But if you keep going, you risk bringing the whole New Republic down with you.
Phalia drew himself up to his full height.
I do not intend to fall, Captain Solo. My supporters among the New Republic military will see to that. Akbar will fall, and I will rise in his place. Excuse me now. I must speak with Admiral Drayson.
He turned and stalked off. Han watched him go, the sour taste of defeat in his mouth. Couldn't Phalia see what he was doing? That he was risking everything on a single long-shot bet? Maybe he couldn't. Maybe it took an experienced gambler to see how the odds were stacked here. Or a politician who wasn't so set in his own system that he couldn't change. Phalia reached the end of the Grand Corridor and headed to the left toward the Admiralty Center. Shaking his head, Han turned and headed back toward Card's guest quarters. First the Coral Vanda, and now this. He hoped it wasn't the start of a trend. Mara stood at the window of her room, staring out at the Minari Mountains in the distance, feeling the oppressive weight of black memories gathering around her mind. The Imperial Palace. After 5 years, she was back in the Imperial Palace, scene of important governmental meetings, glittering social functions, dark and private intrigues. The place where her life had effectively begun. The place where she'd been when it had ended. Her fingernails grated across the carved swirls of the window frame as well-remembered faces rose before her. Grand Admiral Thrawn, Lord Vader, Grand Moff Tarkin, advisors and politicians and sycophants by the hundreds. But above them all was the image of the Emperor. She could see him in her mind's eye as clearly as if he were staring in at her through the window, his wrinkled face frowning, his yellow-tinged eyes bright with anger and disapproval.
You will kill Luke Skywalker,
I'm trying.
She whispered to the words echoing through her mind. But even as she said it, she wondered if it were really true. She'd helped save Skywalker's life on Merkur, had come begging for his help on Jomark, and had now uncomplainingly come to Coruscant with him. She wasn't in any danger. Neither was Card. There was no way she could think of why Skywalker would be useful to either her or any of Card's people. She had, in short, no excuses left. From the next room over came the faint sound of a door opening and closing. Card returned from his meeting. Turning from the window, glad of an excuse to drop this line of thought, she headed toward the door connecting their rooms. Card got there first.
Mara, he said, opening the door and poking his head through. Come in here, please.
He was standing by the room's computer terminal when she arrived. One look at his face was all she needed.
What's gone wrong?
She asked.
I'm not entirely sure, he said, pulling a data card from the terminal's copy slot. That Bothan on the Council put up a surprising amount of resistance to our offer. He basically forced Mon Mothma to hold off on any serious retrieval mission until the location's been checked out. He's getting a ship set up now for a morning flight.
Mara frowned.
A double cross?
Possibly. But I can't see any point to it.
Card shook his head.
Thrawn already has Hofner. He'll get to the fleet soon enough. No. I think it's more likely Phalia's playing internal politics here. Perhaps connected to his campaign against Admiral Akbar, but I'd rather not take any chances.
I've heard stories about internal Bothan politics,
Mara agreed grimly.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to leave tonight for the Trogon system, he said, handing her the data card. Best guess is that's where Aves will have holed up. Make contact and tell him I want everything we have that can both fly and fight to rendezvous with me at the Katana fleet as soon as possible.
Mara took the card gingerly, her fingers tingling at the touch of the cool plastic. There it was, in her hands, the Katana fleet. A lifetime's worth of wealth or power.
I may have trouble persuading Aves to trust me, she warned.
I don't think so, Card said. The Imperials will have reinstated the hunt for our group by now. That alone should convince him I've escaped. There's also a special recognition code on that data card that he'll know. A code the Grand Admiral couldn't possibly have extracted from me this quickly.
Let's hope he doesn't have a higher opinion of Imperial interrogation methods than you do,
Mara said, sliding the data card into her tunic.
Anything else?
No.
Yes,
Card corrected himself.
Tell Ghent I'd like him to come to Coruscant instead of going to the Katana fleet. I'll meet him here after all this is over.
Ghent?
Mara frowned.
Why?
I want to see what a really expert slicer can do with that suspicious lump in Akbar's bank account.
Skywalker mentioned a theory that the break-in and the deposit happened at the same time, but he said that so far no one's been able to prove it. I'm betting Ghent can do so.
I thought this involvement in New Republic politics was supposed to be a one-shot deal,
Mara objected.
It is, Card nodded. I don't want to leave an ambitious Bothan at my back when we leave.
Point,
she had to concede.
All right. You have a ship for me to use?
There was a tap at the door.
I will in a minute,
Card said, crossing to the door and pulling it open. It was Skywalker's sister.
You wanted to see me?
She asked.
Yes, Card nodded in greeting. I believe you know my associate, Mara Jade.
We met briefly when you arrived on Coruscant.
Organa Solo nodded. For a moment her eyes met Mara's, and Mara wondered uneasily how much Skywalker had told her.
I need Mara to go on an errand for me,
Card said, glancing both directions down the corridor before closing the door.
She'll need a fast, long-range ship.
I can get her one,
Organa Solo said.
Will a reconnaissance Y-Wing do, Mara?
That'll be fine,
Mara said shortly.
I'll call the spaceport and make arrangements.
She looked back at Card.
Anything else?
Yes, Card said.
I want to know if you can throw together a tech team and get it into space tonight.
Counselor Faelia is already sending a team, she reminded him.
I know that. I want yours to get there first.
She studied him a moment.
How big a team do you want?
Nothing too elaborate, Card told her. A small transport or freighter, perhaps a starfighter squadron if you can find one that doesn't mind risking official wrath. The point is not to have Faelia's presumably hand-picked crew the only ones there.
Mara opened her mouth, closed it again without speaking. If Card wanted Organa Solo to know that his own people would also be coming, he would tell her himself.
Card glanced at her, back at Organa Solo.
Can you do it?
I think so, she said. Faelia has built up a lot of support in the military, but there are enough people who would rather have Admiral Akbar back in charge.
Here are the coordinates, Card said, handing her a data card. The sooner you can get the team moving, the better.
It'll be gone in 2 hours,
Organa Solo promised.
Good.
Card nodded, his face hardening.
There's just one more thing, then. I want you to understand that there are exactly 2 reasons why I'm doing this. First, as gratitude to your brother for risking his life to help Mara rescue me. And second, to get the Imperials off my back by eliminating their chief reason to hunt me down. That's all. As far as your war and your internal politics are concerned, my organization intends to remain completely neutral. Is that clear?
Organa Solo nodded.
Very clear,
she said.
Good. You'd better get moving, then. It's a long way to the fleet, and you'll want as much head start on Faelia as you can get.
Agreed.
Organa Solo looked at Mara.
Come on, Mara. Let's get you your ship.
The comm beside Wedge Antilles' bunk buzzed its annoying call-up signal. Groaning under his breath, he groped in the darkness and slapped in the general direction of the switch.
Come on, give me a break, huh?
He pleaded.
I'm still running on Ando time.
It's Luke, Wedge,
a familiar voice said.
Sorry to drag you out of bed, but I need a favor. You feel like maybe getting your people into some trouble?
When aren't we in trouble?
Wedge countered, coming fully awake.
What's the deal?
Get your pilots together and meet me at the spaceport in an hour. Docking pad 15. We've got an old transport. We should be able to fit all your X-Wings aboard.
It's a long trip, then?
A few days. I can't tell you any more than that right now.
You're the boss, Wedge said. We'll be there in 1 hour.
See you then. And thanks.
Wedge keyed off and rolled out of bed, feeling a stirring of old excitement. He'd seen a lot of action in the decade he'd been with the Rebellion and New Republic. A lot of flying, a lot of fighting. But somehow, the missions he remembered as being the most interesting always seemed to be the ones where Luke Skywalker was also involved. He wasn't sure why. Maybe Jedi just had a knack for that.
He hoped so.
Between politics on Coruscant and cleaning up after Imperial raids across the New Republic, things were getting more and more frustrating around here. A change would do him good. Keying on the light, he pulled a fresh tunic out of his wardrobe and started getting dressed. There was no problem getting the midnight transport off Coruscant. Leia's authorization guaranteed that. But a freighter with a cargo consisting of a dozen X-Wings was unusual enough to spark comment and speculation. And it was inevitable that the speculation would eventually reach the ears of one of Faelia's supporters. By morning, he knew everything.
This goes well beyond internal political infighting,
he snarled at Leia, his fur rippling back and forth like short stalks of grain caught in a succession of dust devils.
It was blatantly illegal, if not treasonous.
I'm not sure I'd go quite that far,
Mon Mothma said, but she looked troubled.
Why did you do it, Leia?
She did it because I asked her to, Card put in calmly. And since the Katana fleet is technically not yet under New Republic jurisdiction, I don't see how any activity related to it can be considered illegal.
We'll explain proper legal procedure to you later, smuggler,
Phalia said acidly.
Right now, we have a serious breach of security to deal with. Mon Mothma, I request an executive order to be made out for Solo's and Skywalker's arrest.
Even Mon Mothma seemed taken aback by that one.
An arrest order?
They know where the Katana fleet is,
Phalia bit out.
None of their group has been cleared for that information. They must be sequestered until the fleet has been entirely brought into New Republic possession.
I hardly think that will be necessary,
Leia said, throwing a look at Card.
Han and Luke have both handled classified information in the past.
This is not the past,
Phalia interrupted her.
This is the present, and they have not been cleared.
His fur flattened.
Under the circumstances, I think I had best take personal charge of this mission.
Leia threw a look at Card, saw her own thought reflected in his face. If Phalia was able to personally bring back the Katana fleet...
You're certainly welcome to come along, Counselor, Card told the Bothan. Counselor Organa Solo and I will appreciate your company.
It took a second for that to register.
What are you talking about?
Phalia demanded.
No one's authorized either of you to come along.
I'm authorizing it, Counselor, Card said coldly. The Katana fleet is still mine, and will remain so until the New Republic takes possession of it. Until then, I make the rules.
Phalia's fur flattened again, and for a moment Leia thought the Bothan was going to launch himself physically at Card's throat.
We will not forget this, smuggler,
he hissed instead.
Your time will come.
Card smiled sardonically.
Perhaps. Shall we go?
Chapter 27. The proximity alert warbled, and Luke straightened up in his seat. After 5 days, they'd made it.
Here we go, he said. You ready?
You know me,
Han said from the pilot's seat beside him.
I'm always ready.
Luke threw a sideways glance at his friend. To all outward appearances, Han seemed perfectly normal, or at least as close to it as he ever got. But beneath the casual flippancy, Luke had noticed something else over the past few days. A darker, almost brooding sense that had been with him since they left Coruscant. It was there now, and as he studied Han's face, Luke could see the tension lines there.
You all right? He asked quietly.
Oh, sure. Fine.
The lines tightened a little further.
But just once I'd like them to find someone else to go off on these little jaunts across the galaxy. You know, Leia and I didn't even get a day together. We didn't see each other for a whole month, and we didn't even get a day.
Luke sighed.
I know, he said. Sometimes I feel like I've been running full speed since we blasted out of Tatooine with the droids and Ben Kenobi way back when.
Han shook his head.
I hadn't seen her for a month, he repeated. She looks twice as pregnant as she did when she left. I don't even know what happened to her and Chewie out there. All she had time to tell me was that those Nogri things are on our side now. Whatever that means. I can't get anything out of Chewie either. Says it's her story, and that she should tell it herself. But I'm about ready to strangle him.
Luke shrugged.
You have to face it, Han. We're just too good at what we do.
Han snorted, but some of the tension left his face.
Yeah, right.
More to the point, I guess. We're on the list of people Leia knows she can trust.
Luke continued more seriously.
Until we find that information tap the Empire's gotten to the Imperial Palace, that list is going to stay pretty short.
Yeah,
Han grimaced.
Someone told me the Imperials call it Delta Source. You got any ideas who or what it might be?
Luke shook his head.
Not really. Gotta be close into the assemblage, though. Maybe even to the council. One thing's for sure. We'd better get busy and find it.
Yeah.
Han stirred and reached for the hyperdrive levers.
Get ready.
He pulled the levers, and a moment later they were again in the blackness of deep space.
Here we are,
Han announced.
Right.
Luke looked around, an involuntary shiver running up his back.
Dead center in the middle of nowhere.
Should be a familiar feeling for you,
Han suggested, keying for a sensor scan.
Thanks, Luke said. But getting stuck between systems with a dead hyperdrive isn't something I want to get familiar with.
I didn't mean that,
Han said innocently as he keyed the comm.
I was talking about Tatooine. Wedge?
Right here.
The other's voice came over the speaker.
Looks like we've got a target at 047 Mark 166,
Han told him.
You ready to fly?
Ready and eager.
Okay.
Han took a last look out the viewport and keyed the cargo hatch release.
Go!
Luke craned his neck to look in the direction Han had indicated. At first all he could see was the normal scattering of stars, achingly bright against the total blackness around them. And then he saw them. The softer glow of a ship's running lights. His eyes traced the empty space between them, his brain forcing a pattern to the lights. And suddenly the image coalesced. It's a dreadnought, all right.
There's another one just past it, Han said. And three more to port and a little below.
Luke nodded as he located them. A strange tingle running through him. The Katana fleet. Only now did he realize just how little he'd really believed in the fleet's existence.
Which one do we check out?
He asked.
Might as well take the closest, Han said.
No.
Luke said slowly, trying to focus on the vague impression tingling through him.
No. Let's try...
That one, over there. He pointed to a set of running lights a few kilometers farther away.
Any particular reason?
I don't really know,
Luke had to admit. He could feel Han's eyes on him. Then the other shrugged.
Okay,
he said.
Sure, we'll take that one. Wedge, you getting all this?
Copy, transport. We're shifting into escort formation around you. So far, it looks clean.
Good,
Han said.
Stay sharp, anyway.
He keyed the transport's intercom into the circuit and glanced at his chrono.
Lando, where are you?
Just inside the cargo hatch. We've got the sled loaded and ready to go.
Okay,
Han said.
We're heading in.
They were approaching their target dreadnought now, close enough that Luke could see the faint outline of reflected starlight that marked the edge of the hull. Roughly cylindrical in shape, with a half dozen weapons blisters arranged around its midsection, and a bow that he'd heard once described as a giant clam with an overbite, the ship looked almost quaintly archaic. But it was a false impression. The dreadnought heavy cruiser had been the backbone of the Old Republic's fleet. And while it might not look as sleek as the Imperial Star Destroyer that had replaced it, its massive turbolaser batteries still packed an awesome punch.
How do we get aboard?
He asked Han.
There's the main docking bay,
Han said, pointing to a dim rectangle of lights.
We'll take the ship inside.
Luke looked at the rectangle doubtfully.
If it's big enough.
His fears proved groundless. The entrance to the docking bay was larger than it had appeared, and the bay itself even more so. With casual skill, Han brought the transport in, swiveled it around to face the opening, and put it down on the deck.
Okay,
he said, keying the systems to stand by and unstrapping.
Let's get this over with.
Lando, Chewbacca, and the four-man tech team were waiting at the cargo hatchway when Han and Luke arrived.
The techs looking somewhat ill at ease with the unaccustomed blasters belted awkwardly to their sides.
Check the air yet, Anselm?
Han asked.
It looks fine,
the head of the tech team reported, offering Han a data pad for inspection.
Better than it should be after all these years. Must still be some droids on housekeeping duty.
Han glanced at the analysis, handed back the data pad, and nodded to Chewbacca.
Okay, Chewie, open the hatch. Tomris, you drive the sled. Watch out for blank spots in the gravity plates. We don't want you bouncing the sled off the ceiling.
The air in the bay had a strangely musty odor about it. A combination of oil and dust, Luke decided, with a slight metallic tang. But it was fresh enough otherwise.
Pretty impressive,
he commented, as the group walked behind the repulsor lift sled toward the main hatchway.
Especially after all this time.
Those full-rigged computer systems were designed to last, Lando said. So what's the plan, Han?
I guess we split up, Han said. You and Chewie take Anselm, Tomris, and the sled and go check out engineering. We'll head up to the bridge.
For Luke, it was one of the eeriest trips of his life. Precisely because it all looked so normal. The lights in the wide corridors were all working properly, as were the gravity plates and the rest of the environment system. Doors leading off the corridor slid open automatically whenever any of the group strayed close enough to trigger them, revealing glimpses of perfectly maintained machine shops, equipment rooms, and crew lounges. The faint mechanical noises of idling systems whispered behind the sound of their own footsteps. And occasionally, they glimpsed an ancient droid still going about its business. To all appearances, the ship might just as well have been abandoned yesterday. But it hadn't been. The ships had been floating here in the blackness for half a century. And their crews had not left, but had died here in agony at madness. Looking down empty cross corridors as they walked, Luke wondered what the maintenance droids had made of it all as they cleared away the bodies. The bridge was a long walk from the docking bay, but eventually they made it.
Okay, we're here,
Han announced into his comlink, as the blast doors between the bridge and the monitor anteroom behind it opened with only minor grating sounds.
Doesn't seem to be any obvious damage. What have you got on the sublight engines?
Doesn't look good, Lando reported. Tomris says that 6 of the 8 main power converters have been knocked out of alignment. He's still running the check, but my guess is this tub's not going anywhere without a complete overhaul.
Ask me if I'm surprised,
Han countered dryly.
What about the hyperdrive? Any chance we can at least fly it somewhere in towing range of a shipyard?
Anselm is looking into that, Lando said. Personally, I wouldn't trust it that far.
Yeah, well, we're just here to look the thing over, not get it moving. We'll see what kind of control systems we got left up here, and that'll be it.
Luke glanced up at the space over the blast doors, paused for a second look at the elaborate name plaque fastened there.
It's the Katana, he murmured.
What?
Han craned his neck for a look.
Huh.
He looked oddly at Luke.
Was that why you wanted this one?
Luke shook his head.
I guess so. It was just intuition through the Force.
Han, Luke.
Wedge's voice cut in suddenly.
We've got incoming.
Luke felt his heart jump.
Where?
Vector 210, Mark 21. Configuration... It's an escort frigate.
Luke let out a quiet breath.
Better give them a call. Let them know where we are.
Actually, they're calling us. Hang on, I'll patch it through.
Hailing Captain Solo, this is Captain Vigilio of the escort frigate Quenfis.
A new voice came over Han's comlink.
Do you read?
Solo here,
Han said.
Calling from aboard the old Republic ship Katana.
Captain Solo, I regret to inform you that you and your party are under arrest. You will return to your own vessel at once and prepare to surrender.
Virgilio's words and the stunned silence that followed echoed through the command observation deck above and behind the Quenfis' bridge. Seated at the main board, Phalia threw a mocking smile at Leia, a slightly less insolent one at Card, then returned his attention to the distant X-Wing drive trails.
They don't seem to be taking you seriously, Captain,
he said toward the intercom.
Perhaps launching your X-Wing squadrons would convince them we're serious.
Yes, Counselor,
Virgilio said briskly.
and Leia strained her ears in vain for any signs of resentment in that voice. Most of the warship captains she'd known would be highly annoyed at the prospect of taking line orders from a civilian, particularly a civilian with negligible military experience of his own. But then Phalia would hardly have picked the Quenfis for this mission if Virgilio hadn't been one of his staunchest backers. Just one more indication, if she needed it, as to who was really in charge here.
X-Wings, launch!
There were a series of dull thuds as the two squadrons of starfighters left the ship.
Captain Solo, this is Captain Virgilio. Please respond.
Captain, this is the Wing Commander Wedge Antilles of Rogue Squadron. May I ask your authorization to order our arrest?
Allow me, Captain,
Phalia said, touching the comm switch on the board behind him.
This is Counselor Bosk Phalia, Commander Antilles, he said. Though I doubt you're aware of it, Captain Solo is operating illegally.
I'm sorry, Counselor, but I don't understand how that can be. Our orders came from Counselor Leia Organa Solo.
And these new orders come directly from Mon Mothma,
Phalia told him.
Therefore, your authorization is...
Can you prove that?
Phalia seemed taken aback.
I have the order sitting here in front of me, Commander, he said. You're welcome to come examine it once you're aboard.
Commander, for the moment the origin of the arrest order is irrelevant,
Virgilio put in, annoyance starting to creep into his voice.
As a superior officer, I order you to surrender and bring your squadron aboard my ship.
There was a long silence. Leia threw a look at Card, seated a quarter of the way around the observation deck from her. But his attention was turned outward through the transperisteel bubble, his face impassive. Perhaps he was remembering the last time he'd been to this spot.
What if I refuse?
Wedge asked at last.
Forget it, Wedge.
Han's voice cut in.
It's not worth risking a court-martial over. Go on. We don't need you anymore. Nice hearing from you, Phalia.
There was the faint click of a disconnecting comlink.
Solo?
Phalia barked, leaning over the comm as if that would do any good.
Solo!
He turned and glared at Leia.
Get over here,
he ordered her, jabbing a finger at the comm.
I want him back!
Leia shook her head.
Sorry, Counselor. Han won't listen to anyone when he's like this.
Phalia's fur flattened.
I'll ask you one more time, Counselor. If you refuse...
He never had a chance to finish the threat. Something flickered at the edge of Leia's peripheral vision, and even as she turned to look, the Quenfis's alarms went off.
What?
Phalia yelped, jerking in his seat and looking frantically around him.
It's an Imperial Star Destroyer,
Card told him over the blaring of the alarms.
And it appears to be coming this way.
We've got company, Rogue Leader.
One of Wedge's X-Wing pilots snapped as the sound of Quenfis's alarms came hooting over the comm.
Star Destroyer, bearing 178 Mark 86.
Got it,
Wedge said, turning the ship away from its confrontation with the Quenfis's approaching starfighters and bringing it around in a Type 180. It was a Star Destroyer, all right. Almost straight across from the Quenfis, with a katana dead center between them.
Luke,
he called.
We see it.
Luke's voice came back tightly.
We're heading for the docking bay now.
Right. Hold it,
Wedge interrupted himself. Against the dark bulk of the Star Destroyer's lower hull, a large group of drive tails had suddenly appeared.
They're launching,
he told the other.
12 marks. Dropships, probably, from the look of the drive trails.
So we hurry,
Han's voice came on.
Thanks for the warning. Now get back to the Quenfis.
The comlink clicked and went dead.
Like pleases we will,
Wedge muttered under his breath.
Rogue Squadron, let's go.
Captain Virgilio was trying to say something on the open channel. Switching to his squadron's private frequency, Wedge kicked the X-Wing's drive to full power and set off toward the katana.
In the near distance, just beyond the drive trails of the Quenfis' X-Wings, Rogue Squadron turned and blazed off in the direction of the Star Destroyer.
"They're going to attack!"
Phalia breathed.
"They must be insane!"
"They're not attacking. They're running cover,"
Leia told him, staring at the scenario unfolding outside the bubble and trying to estimate interception points. It was going to be far too close.
"We need to get over there and back them up," she said. "Captain Virgilio."
"Captain Virgilio, you'll recall your X-Wings at once,"
Phalia cut her off.
"Navigation will prepare to make the jump to light speed."
"Counselor?"
Virgilio asked, his voice sounding stunned.
"Are you suggesting we abandon them?"
"Our duty, Captain, is to get out of here alive and sound the alarm,"
Phalia countered sharply.
"If Rogue Squadron insists on defying orders, there's nothing we can do for them."
Leia was on her feet.
"Captain!"
Phalia was quicker, slapping off the intercom before she could speak.
"I'm in charge here, Counselor,"
he said as she started toward him.
"Authorized by Mon Mothma herself."
"To blazes with your authority!"
Leia snapped.
For a handful of heartbeats, she had the almost overwhelming urge to snatch her lightsaber from her belt and send it slicing through that bland face.
With an effort, she choked the urge down. Violent hatred was the path of the dark side.
"Mon Mothma didn't anticipate anything like this happening," she said, fighting to keep her voice as calm as she could. "Phalia, that's my husband and brother out there. If we don't help them, they'll die."
"And if we do help them, they'll most likely still die,"
Phalia said coolly.
"And your unborn children along with them."
An icy knife jabbed at Leia's heart.
"That's not fair," she whispered.
"Reality is not required to be fair,"
Phalia said.
"And the reality in this case is that I will not waste men and ships on a lost cause."
"It's not lost,"
Leia insisted, her voice breaking with desperation as she threw a look out the bubble.
"No, it couldn't end like this.
Not after all she and Han had survived together." She took another step toward Phalia.
"The Quenfis will withdraw,"
the Bothan said quietly. And suddenly, from some hiding place within the cream-colored fur, a blaster appeared in his hand.
"And neither you nor anyone else is going to change that."
"Report from sensors, Captain,"
the officer at the Judicator scan station called up to the command walkway.
"All the other dreadnoughts in the region read negative for lifeforms."
"So they're concentrating on just the one,"
Captain Brandeis nodded.
"That's where we'll hit it, then. The rebels will be in far less of a hurry to open fire on the ship that has their own people aboard. Still just the one starfighter squadron moving to intercept."
"Yes, sir. The escort frigate and the other two squadrons haven't yet responded. They must have been caught off guard."
"Perhaps."
Brandeis permitted himself a slight smile. So it always went with rebels. They fought like crazed animals when they had nothing to lose. But give them a taste of victory and a chance to enjoy the spoils of war, and suddenly they weren't nearly so eager to risk their lives anymore. One of many reasons why the Empire would ultimately defeat them.
"Order the dropships into defense formation," he instructed the communications officer. "And have Starfighter Command launch two squadrons of TIE fighters to intercept those X-Wings."
He smiled again.
"And send a message to the Chimera. Inform the Grand Admiral that we have engaged the enemy."
For a long minute, Han gazed out the bridge observation bubble at the approaching Imperial ships, doing a quick estimate of times and distances and ignoring the fidgeting tech men waiting nervously at the bridge doorway.
"Shouldn't we be going?"
Luke prompted from beside him. Han came to a decision.
"We're not leaving,"
he said, thumbing on his comlink.
"We'd get the transport out of the docking bay just in time to run into those dropships and TIE fighters. Lando?"
"Right here."
Lando's voice came tensely back.
"What's happening out there?"
"Imperials on the way,"
Han told him, moving over to the bridge fire control panel and gesturing to the techs to join him.
Rogue Squadron's moving to intercept, but it sounds like Phalia's crowd is going to run for it.
Lando swore under his breath.
We can't just sit here and let Wedge tackle them alone.
We're not going to,
Han assured him grimly.
Get busy back there and see what shape the power coupling to the turbo laser batteries is in. We'll check the fire control up here. And make it fast. Once they break formation, we won't be able to hit them.
Right.
Han stuck the comlink back in his belt.
How's it look, Shen?
Looks pretty solid.
The tech's muffled voice came from underneath the control board.
Klein?
Connections look good here, too.
The other tech reported from a board across the room.
If we can get the computer to enable the system... there we go.
He looked at Han.
You're all set.
Han sat down at the weapons panel, running his eyes over the unfamiliar arrangement of the controls, and wondering if all this effort was more than just spitting in vacuum. Even these full-rigged, computer-centralized, slave-circuit-equipped dreadnoughts still required over 2,000 people to fly them. But the Imperials wouldn't be expecting a derelict ship to fire, he hoped.
Here we go,
he muttered to himself as he keyed for visual targeting. The dropships were still flying in tight formation, using their overlapping shields to protect them from any lucky shots from the approaching X-Wings. The faster TIE fighters had caught up with them now, sweeping around the group on all sides and starting to pass them.
You've got just one shot at this, Luke murmured.
Thanks, Han growled. I really needed to hear that.
He took a deep breath, held it, and gently squeezed the fire control triggers. The katana lurched, and as the multiple blazes of turbo laser light flashed outward, he felt the double thud of a disintegrating capacitor bang through the deck. Luke had been right. The ship's first shot had been its last. But it had been worth it. The laser bolts hit the dropship formation dead center, and suddenly, the whole Imperial force seemed to come apart in a blaze of multiple explosions. For a few seconds, everything was hidden behind secondary explosions and clouds of debris. Then, through the destruction, a handful of ships shot out. A few more joined them, this group moving with the distinctive limp of damaged property.
Looks like you took out 5 of the dropships,
Klein reported, peering through a set of macro binoculars pressed tightly against his face.
A few of the TIE fighters, too.
They're going into evasive maneuvers, Luke added.
Okay,
Han said, getting up from the chair and pulling out his comlink.
That's it for that game. Lando?
Whatever you just did, it made a real mess back here. Took out the fire control power coupling, at least one of the generators. What now?
We get ready for a boarding party, Han told him. Meet us in the portside main corridor, just forward of the docking bay. We'll see what kind of defense we can set up.
Right.
Han shut down the comlink.
Let's go, he said.
This had better be some defense,
Luke commented as they left the bridge and headed back down the portside corridor.
Especially when we're talking maybe 40-1 odds.
Han shook his head.
Never tell me the odds,
he admonished the other, glancing at his chrono. It could be any time now.
Besides, you never know when the odds are going to change.
We can't just abandon them,
Leia said again, dimly aware that she was talking to Phalia as if he were a child.
That's my husband and brother out there, and a dozen good X-Wing pilots. We can't just leave them to the Imperials.
One mustn't place personal considerations above one's duty to the New Republic, Counselor,
Phalia said. His fur rippled, perhaps with appreciation of his own insight, but the blaster in his hand remained steady.
Surely you understand that.
It's not just personal considerations,
Leia insisted, fighting hard to keep from losing her temper again.
It's...
One moment...
Phalia interrupted her, touching the intercom switch.
Captain, how soon to light speed?
Another minute,
Virgilio's voice came back.
Perhaps 2.
As quickly as you can, Captain,
Phalia said. He shut the intercom off again and looked back at Leia.
You were saying, Counselor,
Leia consciously unclenched her teeth. If Phalia's aim would only shift, even a little, she might be able to risk jumping him. But as matters stood, she was helpless. Her rudimentary abilities with the Force weren't nearly strong enough for her to grab or deflect the blaster, and he was nearly a meter out of reach of her lightsaber.
"Han and Luke are vitally important to the New Republic," she said. "If they die or are captured..."
"The katana's firing," Card commented calmly, getting to his feet as if for a better view. Leia glanced out the bubble as the distant Imperial ships were engulfed briefly in flame.
"They know a great deal about the workings of the New Republic, Phalia. Do you want the Empire to get that knowledge?"
"I'm afraid you're missing the Counselor's point, Leia," Card said, walking over to where she sat. He passed in front of her, dropping a data pad casually onto the tracking console beside her as he did so.
"You're concerned about your family, of course," he continued, walking on a couple of paces before turning to face Phalia. "Counselor Phalia has a different set of priorities."
"I'm sure he does,"
Leia said, her mouth suddenly dry as she looked sideways at the datapad Card had set down. On its screen was a short message. "Turn on the intercom and calm." She looked up again. Phalia's blaster was still pointed at her, but the Bothan's violet eyes were turned toward Card. Setting her teeth, Leia focused on the board behind him and reached out with the Force. And without even a click, the intercom was on. Another effort, and the comm was too.
"I don't understand," she said to Card. "What other priorities could Counselor Phalia have?"
"It's simple enough," Card said. "Counselor Phalia is motivated solely by his own political survival. He's running away from the fight because he's put his most ardent supporters aboard this ship, and he can't afford to lose any of them."
Leia blinked.
"He's what? But I thought..."
"That this was the normal crew of the Quenfis." Card shook his head. "Not at all. The captain and senior officers are all that remain, and they were mostly on his side in the first place. That's why Phalia wanted a few hours before leaving Coruscant, so that he could shift duty assignments around and make sure everyone aboard was fully loyal to him."
He smiled thinly.
"Not that any of them realized that, of course. They were given the impression that it was a special security arrangement."
Leia nodded, feeling cold all over. So it wasn't just the captain. The entire ship was on Phalia's side. Which meant it was over. And she had lost. Even if she was somehow able to take out Phalia himself, she had lost.
"So you can imagine," Card went on offhandedly, "how reluctant Phalia is to risk losing any of them over anything so outmoded as loyalty to one's comrades. Especially after having worked so hard to convince them of how much he cared for the average fighting man."
Leia threw Card a sharp look, suddenly seeing where he was going with this.
"Is that true, Counselor?"
she asked Phalia, putting disbelief in her voice.
"All this talk about being on the side of the military was nothing more than a play for political power?"
"Don't be foolish, Counselor,"
Phalia said, fur rippling with contempt.
"What other use are soldiers to a politician?"
"Is that why you don't care if the men of Rogue Squadron die?" Card asked. "Because they prefer to stay out of politics?"
"No one cares if their enemies die,"
Phalia said coldly.
"And all those who are not on my side are my enemies."
He gestured with his blaster.
"I trust, Captain Card, that I need not say more."
Card raised his eyes from Phalia to the view outside.
"No, Counselor," he said. "I believe you have said enough."
Leia followed his gaze. Between the Quenfis and the Katana, in twos and threes, Phalia's X-Wing squadrons were heading to Wedge's support, deserting the politician who had just defined the limits of his consideration for their welfare.
"Yes,"
she murmured.
"You've said enough."
Phalia frowned at her. But even as he started to speak, the door to the bridge slid open. Captain Virgilio stood there, flanked by two soldiers.
"Counselor Phalia," he said stiffly, "I respectfully request your return to your quarters. These men will accompany